And so to chickens. As we've reported here before on the Science Show, Dr. Alice Storey uses the remains of chickens, fossils, found around the world to track the way people have moved about the Pacific. And this intriguing work continues at the University of New England in Armidale. And this is how it began.
Well, we were looking at what happened before and how could we trace chickens in general as part of the human story as a whole, as opposed to just a story of people moving across the Pacific. So I'd conquered a third of the globe with the Polynesians, and I thought, you know, the world was now open for analysis. So I went looking to see if we could trace back the chickens that were moved by the Polynesians and their ancestors across the Pacific to their domestication centers in Southeast Asia. And we haven't quite been able to do that yet, but we can certainly see the descendants of those great-great-grandmother chickens that are living somewhere in Southeast Asia and how they moved around the world.
But where did they originally come from?
Well, chickens are originally domesticated in several regions of Southeast Asia. There may be one or two domestication events in China, very likely to be at least one, maybe two in India. And historical records, although archaeology hasn't yet borne this out, also suggest that Burma, Laos, Vietnam are all other likely regions in which you might get domestication. And in fact, Darwin had suggested that both Burma and Malaysia were very good areas to look for original domestication.
Okay, so starting at the beginning when chickens were wild in the forest, and they were called something else then, could you move them to our region and then show how they track to other regions?
Well, chickens are probably descended from a group of birds called red jungle fowl in Southeast Asia. There are a couple of other types of jungle fowl, and some researchers have suggested it's actually the crossbreeding of these different types of jungle fowl that gives us domestic chicken. The behavioral studies of red jungle fowl suggest that they're not very good pets, and they don't like to be kept confined. So you actually have to go through a process of taming and then domesticating red jungle fowl before you can start moving them out of the places to which they're native. So we have an initial process in which people who are probably living in small farming communities find that they have certain members of jungle fowl populations who are living around the outskirts of their villages, probably scavenging from the garbage piles and things. And they start interacting with them and maybe adopting chicks who then imprint on people, and they start finding individuals there that are more tame. And over a long period of time, probably, archaeology suggests that people in China are interacting with red jungle fowl 12,000 years ago. But the first fully domesticated bones that archaeologists have excavated are 5,000 years old. So it gives us a long period of time in which they're getting to know their neighbors, I guess.
More recently in Polynesia, presumably in the Pacific?
Well, it looks like the people are moving fully domesticated forms of chickens out into the Pacific because these wild red jungle fowl aren't going to like sea journeys very much, we suspect. Modern behavioral studies would show that they're not easy to transport. So they're taking varieties that have already been domesticated in these Asian centers with them, along with domesticated pigs and dogs and all sorts of other great domesticated plants that they took with them out into the ocean.
With those long journeys in the Pacific, even with tame chickens, and even with the fact that presumably the travelers took them to eat on the journey, nonetheless, they would have to be under control for weeks, maybe months.
Yeah, it's very likely. But of course, don't forget that Polynesians and Pacific voyagers aren't the only people sailing around the world with chickens. And another group of very important people sailing around the world with chickens are Europeans. Them Cook has got them on his ship. The Spanish have them. And they're moving them all around. And one of the interesting things about this study in particular is that what we found is by tracing these mitochondrial lineages, these female lines, that the Polynesians are moving a group of chickens that come out of a Southeast Asian domestication center across the Pacific and into the Americas. This same group of chicken has other descendants that move the other way, and they come out of Southeast Asia into Europe, and eventually that group of descendants are carried by Europeans across the Atlantic, and they arrive in the Americas on the other coast. And so this family gets reunited sort of incidentally by two different groups of sailors who are using them to provision their ships in prehistory.
And they meet in the middle.
They seem to, yeah.
How they get on?
Seems like they got on like a house on fire, as chickens usually do. They seem to have crossbred with each other very successfully and quite quickly, I think.
Okay, so they weren't separated by speciation or anything like that?
No, they don't seem to be. They seem to have actually very similar mitochondrial DNA sequences, which is great because it gives us this indication that they're very closely related, coming out of a single domestication center and moving all around the world. What's not great about it is the sorts of questions we really want to answer about specific migrations. So different movements of different people at different times, say like the Romans who moved chickens all over the place because they were an important stock for legions, or groups of people who started moving chickens out of Southeast Asia in the 1800s to try and make all the fancy breeds we have today. These are the sorts of questions we're interested in when we're interested in people. And so, unfortunately, the mitochondrial DNA that we have right now won't answer that question. So now we need to turn to the new techniques and the next generation sequencing and start looking at nuclear genes to answer those more specific questions.
Still sticking with the chickens, even though an awful lot of people doing your work are tracking language, they're tracking pottery, they're tracking fossils, as you say, and, you know, even aspects of culture like statues and who knows what.
Every line of evidence you've got to reconstruct a human story is good. It brings more richness to the story, it gives us more sides, and of course people don't always do the same thing the same way. And one of the things that we saw in the Pacific is that they seem to be moving through different animals and different lineages or genetic signatures of animals at different times. So each one of those gives us a different piece of the human story. So people who are moving chickens may not be the same people who are moving pots. But linguistics gives us another aspect in allowing us to look at these same questions from a different perspective. So if we look at the linguistics of chicken and the names of chickens around the world and with different groups, that may give us a piece of the story that genetics can't. And so we use as many lines of evidence as we can to build the best story of the past. And tracking the movement of domesticated plants and animals by Europeans, which changes the whole world. For example, a non-chicken example, the Spanish and Portuguese fell so in love with the chili pepper, which was distributed along a very small bit of Peru when they arrived, that within 100 years of them discovering it, it had a worldwide distribution. The European movements around the world in the Enlightenment changed the distributions of plants and animals so drastically that it is another really interesting aspect of the human movement of plants and animals that we can investigate looking at chickens, among other things.
And chili and chickens go well together.
They sure do.
Hot chicken. Well, Dr. Alice Storey from the University of New England is now spending DNA time at the University of Otago in New Zealand and wondering why chicken bones were so often buried by the Romans with people.